This podcast is supported by Tourism Ireland. Experience all of what Northern Ireland has to offer, from standing on the rocks of the Giant's Causeway to hiking the Mourne Mountains with epic sea views, or enjoying the crack in Belfast City's great pubs with some live music. With amazing access from Great Britain by both air and sea, Northern Ireland is so easy to get to. To find your next adventure, visit ireland.com/Northern Ireland.
Hello and welcome to the National Trust podcast. I'm Lead Ranger Kate Martin, and today we're making a splash just off the coast of Northern Ireland. We'll be heading out to Rathlin Island, but to get there we need to cross the deepest waters in the British Isles. Along the way, we'll find out what creatures lurk in the deep as we head on a sea safari, as well as discovering an ancient and delicious source of food.
Oh, it's a glorious day on the Causeway Coast today. I've not long woken up here in my beautiful holiday cottage at Carrickaread. Looking through the window and stretching for miles is some of the most gorgeous sun-kissed blue oceans I've ever seen. And something you might not know about me is I'm actually a marine biologist, so any and all opportunities to feel the sea breeze and smell that crisp salty air, and I'm there. I'm just packing my rucksack and a packed lunch for the day before I head down the road to the harbour for a very exciting day of adventure. I've actually booked on to do a sea safari and meet a seaweed expert for a picnic. But before I go, I'm off to meet my friend and fellow marine biologist, Jade Berman. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? How was your trip over?
It was good. It was very, very good.
Excellent.
So you're obviously an expert on the coast of beautiful Northern Ireland.
Well, I try my best.
So I need to know what it is I should be looking out for. What's good?
Oh, there's so many things you could be looking out for. It is an absolutely amazing place and you're going to have a ball. So what can I think? Let's start off maybe from the big stuff and then we'll work our way down to the little things that are my favourites. If you're kind of looking around there, you've got a good chance of seeing some of the marine mammals. So there might be a few different ones there. We've got a great drop-off. So because of the upwelling coming from 200 metres, there's lots of nice, tasty food for them. So you might have a chance to see some of the dolphins.
Nice.
If you're lucky, you might have a chance of seeing a basking shark, which is always an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. Or even maybe there's actually one of the first marine protected areas pretty close by, which was designated for porpoises.
Aww.
So those little puffin pigs are pretty cute as well to kind of come and see. But there's lots of stuff beneath the water as well. So if you get a chance, then it's quite awesome to have a look both in the shallows at some of the cool seaweeds. But my particular favourite is the sponges. And the reason is, like, Rathlin Island is a world hotspot for sponges.
Really?
There are over 29 species that are endemic, so they're found nowhere else in the world. That it's just in Rathlin, and they come in every colour under the sun. So they are pretty awesome. So if you can get a chance to have a wee dip, that would be awesome. But I know, you know, whether depending on time, you might have to come back for that one. So we shall see.
Obviously, I'm really hoping we will see something, but if we don't...
Yes, I actually have something to help you with some of that big stuff.
Amazing.
Yes, so I've got one here, and I want you to see if you can figure out what it is and what you might want to do with it.
Have a wee look. How very suggestive. It's obviously a microphone of some kind.
But where do you think you might be using it?
Well, I'm guessing if we're going on a boat.
Yes.
Does it go under the water?
Bingo.
Yes. Hydrophone.
Yes.
Wow. So what sort of things, what sort of noises would I be expecting to hear?
Well, it just so happens that I have a few little noises that you could have a listen to.
Oh, amazing.
And see if you can then recognise them in real life.
Oh, my word. This is not a good one for a... It's been a long time since I did my marine biology degree. We'll see. A dolphin?
Yeah, I think if you can see what was one of the largest of the dolphins that we get in our waters.
Bottlenose?
Yes.
Bottlenose well dolphin?
Done. Well done. Yeah, that's right. I think we might have to try another one, though, because there are others you might hear too.
I know. Again, it's a dolphin or a porpoise. I know something like a common dolphin.
It's something a bit bigger this time. It's actually one of the biggest ones that we kind of would... One of the biggest ones of
Orca.
The ones... No, bigger. Bigger still.
Minke whale.
Bigger. Come on, you can get bigger
blue
than
whale.
This. Not that big. Not that big. We haven't got blue.
Humpback.
Humpback, that's right, yeah. So well done. Well done on that one.
Next one. That sounds completely different. That sounds more like a propeller on a boat.
It does sound like a propeller on a boat. And a bit of splashing.
I'm going for, with the splashing, is it a basking shark?
No, it's not a basking shark.
Any clues?
Well, it is still one of the whales.
Okay.
It's not as big as a humpback whale.
This is, we're going to go down.
Yeah, we're going to go size-wise.
Are we going minke?
Yes.
Come on. I've seen a minke whale in South Scotland a few times.
Yeah, I'm hoping you see some basking sharks. I think that would be quite cool.
I love basking sharks.
Yeah. Kind of early, but you know, you never know.
Yeah, I've seen them off the coast of Scotland before now. They're just awesome. They're just so big.
Yeah. And keep an eye out for puffins too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, obviously the puffins will be coming in. And Rathen Island is a good place for those too.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah. Oh, sounds absolutely amazing. I can't wait.
Yeah, you really enjoy. Yes, and tell me all about it later.
Will do. Now prepped with a boatload of knowledge, it was time to head to Ballycastle Marina to meet Skipper Richard from Aquaholics, a company that specialises in diving, sea safaris and the Irish Sea.
Hi, you must be Richard.
I am. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Nice boat. So, what sort of things should we be looking out for today?
Well, today we're going to go across the channel here between the Causeway Coast and Rathlin Island with Fairhead on the right-hand side, which is fantastic. It's a Game of Thrones site, and where Jon Snow first pet the dragon. And up to the west end with Carrigeried Rope Bridge and Giant's Causeway. So, but we're going to keep going, head towards Rathlin Island, which is well renowned for its wildlife. What you want me to do today is keeping not your eyes in the boat, but eyes on the sea.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait. I just love being on the water, so really looking forward to it.
So, Kate, we've left Ballycastle and we've come across the Rathlin Sound here. If you're looking to the west, this is Giant's Causeway, the chimney tops, and the furthest bit of cliff you can see.
Yeah.
And then that's Sheep Island, which is beside Carrigeried Rope Bridge.
Yeah.
And this is Kimban Headland, where Kimban Castle is. And you've also done Severick Castle on the side of Giant's Causeway. And then here on the southeast side of us is Fairhead. This is the most northeast point of the island of Ireland. So then we're actually looking down the Irish Sea. We're looking down the east side of Ireland. Further to our east is the Mullican Tower in Scotland. So that's part of the mainland of Scotland.
Yeah.
So it's only about 14 nautical miles from Fairhead to the Mullican Tower.
Wow.
And then you can see what's happening at the moment. It's quite a strong tide. The tide's coming up the Irish Sea and it's heading into, this is now the Atlantic Ocean to our west. And that strong tide is fantastic for us as people riding sea safaris, scuba diving. This strong tide and our plankton-rich waters is hitting Rathlin Island at full tilt, and that's force-feeding the soft corals and the sponges under the water. That brings in the small fish, the big fish, and then that's all part of the food chain. That brings in the birds, etc. So what's below water is more important than what's above water.
Well, as a marine biologist, we always used to say, it's the little stuff that matters, not the big stuff on the top.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the stuff stuck on the ground, that's the thing that's important.
Yeah, without the blue, there's no green.
Exactly, exactly that.
Okay, what we'll do now is, if it's okay, we'll head in towards, this is the old kelp houses.
Okay.
This is Ushant Harbour. So in the old days, look how choppy maybe the sea is a wee bit in places today.
Yeah.
But if you look into this bay, you see it's very calm.
Yeah.
So in the old days, they were able to get the sailing ships into this bay, and hopefully we'll find some seals and have a look in there.
Fantastic.
So, Kate, this is Ushant Port. You can see how calm it is inside the port. And these are the old kelp houses when they would have farmed kelp all along the coast here. And if you look up on the rocks and in the bay here, you'll see some seals in the water. But again, you can see the strength of the tide, how strong the tide is outside the port here. It's ripping about 4 to 5 knots. Oh, there's a big seal coming towards us now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so nosy.
You hear an oyster catcher somewhere as well, squeaking there.
Oh, oyster catcher. The most neurotic of birds.
The water's lovely and clear here, very rich. The kelp here is extremely thick. In Rathlin Island, a lot of places around the British Isles, kelp grows to around 12 metres under the water. Around Rathlin Island, because our water's so rich, generally the water's so dark and clear, the kelp has grown down to 20, 24 metres in places.
Wow, that's massive! That is massive.
Right beside. Where's the young girl there?
They're so nosy, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's what I always loved about seals. I remember doing some snorkeling once when I lived off the west coast of Scotland, and we were just snorkeling around, and you just turned around, there was a seal behind us. It was like, what are you doing here? Is the seal still nosing around?
There's a lot of seals lying up in the rocks beside the sheep there. So.
It's just gorgeous, isn't it?
As we leave the seals relaxing in the bay and continue around the island's coast, Richard invites us into the boat's cabin to explore some of Rathlin's most famous and infamous shipwrecks below us on the seabed.
We know of hundreds, if not thousands, of ships that have hit Rathlin Island or been lost in an area around it. And so this is a very strategic location. As you can imagine, in World War I and World War II, a lot of the convoys coming in from the North Atlantic or from America were going to Belfast, Liverpool, Manchester, Glasgow. So they're all having to pass this area. So the German U-boats would have sat off the North Channel here. And on one day, a German U-boat, U-89, sunk 3 British warships. But the ship I'm going to show you now is a Caledonia McBray liner. And in World War II, it was transporting British troops. It hit rocks. So they're actually on our sounder now, the wreck's actually appearing.
So what we've got here, because obviously we're in your nice warm cabin now, we're not at the bottom of the sea, which is great. So you can see sort of a blue, obviously blue of the sea, and then sort of at the bottom of the screen is sort of relatively flat, sort of darker brown, and then this quite clear hump in the middle, which is the wreck.
Yeah, that's the wreck, and we can actually put another system on as well, which is a side scan system. So yeah, you can see the structure of the wreck.
Oh,
you can
wow.
see the bow. This is the bow of the wreck. So this wreck is a fantastic wreck because it's one of the best wrecks for sports divers on the island of Ireland because it's sitting intact in the bottom.
Oh, wow.
And the reason why I like diving, not only is it a fantastic wreck to see, but because it's sitting in a flat area of the bottom with a strong tide going past it all the time, it attracts fantastic marine life. So the wreck is completely covered in soft corals, sponges, big shoals of fish, lobster, ling, conger, everything.
Oh, it's just sounds amazing. So how many wrecks do you think there are just within Rathlin Sound itself?
At Rathlin Island, we know of about 65 confirmed locations that we've identified. But there's hundreds of other wrecks that haven't been found. And then there's a lot of wrecks in very deep water that haven't been dived. So there's more wrecks off the north coast of Ireland than there is anywhere else in the world.
Really?
We've got liners, warships. For us, we have a lot of shallow wrecks in here. And because of the thick kelp, it's very hard to see the wrecks. But this is the perfect wreck. We couldn't ask for any more than this. The intensities of the sponges, the corals on it, the deck is all white, black and white tiled. And then there's all the wooden deck areas, there's luxury baths.
And you can get into the ship itself, actually get into the...
You can, there's bits where you can go in, and obviously we don't recommend that, but there is bits you can go in.
Yeah, wow.
Back out on deck, we reach the northeast corner of Rathlin, an Alta Carry lighthouse, and arrive to a nature lover's dream. On the cliffs and flying alongside the boat are dozens of different species of seabird.
Kate, we've arrived in Alta Carry Lighthouse, the northeast corner of Rathlin, and these are puffins flying about. That's a razor bull there.
Yeah.
The easiest way to find the puffin is look at all the birds the way they fly, and the puffin is flying quicker and harder. And the wings are going harder, like a cross little man. And once you start to see the way they fly, you'll start to see a lot more of them. If you look now to our north, look how many birds we're seeing now.
Oh,
so we're on
wow.
the north. Once we go around this corner onto the north side of Rathlin, the numbers are greatly increased. So the tide here is flowing very quickly. So that tide, we're getting a bit of upwelling here in the water, and that upwelling's bringing the nutrients towards the surface, and that's what's helping feed the birds, and that's why there's so many birds here. And then in this area of the cliff here, on as we all know, the puffins are nesting on the grass banks just below the lighthouse, and the guillemots and the razorbills are using the rock faces. But we'll go in a bit closer in a minute and have a look.
Oh, fantastic. It's my first puffin of the year, that is.
So I'm just going to take the boat up to this next corner here. And
then we've
got a lot of gannets. So the gannets now are staying in one spot. You see them just staying here. So if you keep looking there, there's a good chance we might see the porpoises.
Oh, amazing.
The seabirds gathering above the water are a good indication that there are plenty of fish and plenty of food just below the surface. And soon enough, we were lucky enough to see a couple of porpoises joining in to feed. This seemed like a good opportunity to try out the gadget Jade had lent me earlier.
This feels like a really good place to try out the hydrophone that Jade gave me, so I'm just gonna chuck it in. So what I'm hearing under the sea is lots of gurgles. You can obviously hear the water hitting the boat. It's amazing how quiet it is, actually. I don't know quite what I was expecting. I think I was expecting singing, like in The Little Mermaid, and all the creatures to be singing a nice little chorus line. It's very quiet.
As I listened out for the calls of the wildlife that live in our oceans, I pictured the luscious sea of colour below us. From the sponges to the anemones, the crabs and other crustaceans, and all that call this place home. Whether you get to enjoy the sea on land or out on a boat, it really is such a magical other world. Having spent some time listening, it was now time to get onto dry land and explore what else Rathlin had to offer.
I've now arrived on Rathlin Island. Rich has very kindly dropped me off. I had a fantastic voyage where we saw porpoises and seals, puffins, guillemots. Now, quite often people get excited about the big creatures, the sort of creatures that Jade told us about that people see in the waters around here. But often it's the little things. It's the little things, squidgy things stuck to rocks, crawling along the seabed, that's actually really important for our ecosystems here. And another thing that is incredibly important is the plant life, for want of a better word, the algal life that is under the sea. And what I'm doing right now is I'm going to meet a lady called Prani Rattigan, who is a real expert on seaweed, and she's going to tell me all about how significant seaweed is.
I'd arranged to meet Prani at the kelp store. This is a property that is looked after by the National Trust, but is a little bit of a hidden gem. In fact, it doesn't really appear in any guidebooks or maps, and it's just nestled in the coastline around a short walk through a sweeping cove decorated with cottages and white sandy beaches. The kelp store would have once played a huge role in the island's economy, and at one point was even used as a venue for live music and dance. Today it stands as a monument, and without its roof and open to the elements, it's a beautiful place to sit and reflect, and to enjoy a lovely picnic, even if things do start to turn out a little bit cloudy. Inside the small stone building is Prani.
Hello, Prani.
Hello, Kate.
Are you nice, enjoying this nice weather?
Oh, it's so lovely to be here. It really is. It's actually very moving to be in a place of such historical seaweed significance.
And what would they have been using the kelp for?
Well, it was put in the kilns, and then it was made into a mush and burnt down, and then it was the iodine that was used, especially during wartime when they really needed. They used them as part of their traditional foods.
With seaweed playing such a huge role in the local diet, it seemed only right that it was time to give some a try. This picnic was a little different from what I may have been used to, but had all been lovingly put together using some of Prani's recipes.
OK, so what are we starting off with?
Well, Kate, I thought we'd have a little bit of the dulse, the dried dulse, and wrapping it around a lovely walnut. So I'll get you to pick yourself out a little walnut there.
Oh, wow.
and then I will get you a nice strip of the dulse. And then if you wrap it around it and pop it in your mouth and chew and chew and chew, it has that wonderful umami sensation or flavour.
So this is sort of, you know, the bit of seaweed that I've got here is sort of dried. It's a beautiful reddy purple colour. And you can see that, I assume, the white on it is the salt.
Yes, yeah.
Just wrap it round, pop it in.
And some of the sugars that are on it as well come to the surface.
You think about sugars and seaweed. You think salt and seaweed, but not sugars.
Yeah, yeah, they come to the surface. So have a little taste.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, that is delicious.
Good.
Mmm. It's sort of salty and creamy, and you're right, that umami.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's a real snack to have in the car. Okay, so this one, these are little scones that I made. And again, I would have the dulse in them and also a mixture of seaweed in them.
Oh,
now, they are better hot, I will say. So
we'll just imagine.
You have to imagine that they're hot. So would you like a little bit of butter, or do you want to just try it as it is? So do you want to pick one out there and I'll get a little knife?
And I have to say, savoury scones are my favourite scones. I think they're way better than sweet scones.
Yeah, me too.
Scones are beautiful.
Oh, they really are 100% different when they're hot, aren't they? Yes. Well, I did add spice. I've added, like, that's part of the recipe. Mm. It has some mustard and a little bit of cayenne pepper in it. Mm. Yeah, so it gives it that kick.
Absolutely lovely. They're sort of herby and salty. And
yeah, I'm so glad you like savoury things too.
I do. Definitely a savoury person. Oh, well, thank you, Prani. This has been fascinating. Seaweeds, I always was absolutely fascinated with seaweeds. When I was doing my degree in marine biology, I had a real soft spot for seaweed. So learning so much from you and tasting just absolutely delicious food, I am just so pleased. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure to meet you and to come here, Kate. I've really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Walking back from the kelp house now, back along the bay. I'm just walking past all these lovely whitewashed cottages. I've got the sea to my left. I can see the boat in the harbour waiting for me. There's even a few seals bobbing around out there. Prani's really opened my eyes to the wonder of seaweed. The taste, the smell, just absolutely delicious. I absolutely love being by the sea. There's nothing quite like it. My final impression of Rathyn Island as we're leaving is it might be a little bit wet, it might be a little bit windy. It's very, very beautiful. And I've got a nice little oyster catcher just standing guard waiting to wave me off. Thank you for listening to this episode of the National Trust podcast. And on a personal note, thank you for sharing these stories with me. I'm going to be leaving the National Trust to join our friends as a ranger for the RSPB, caring for wildlife in Scotland. So for now, this is going to be one of the last times I'll be with you. I'll be back for a special episode that we have already recorded, ready for next year, and I really look forward to being with you again then. To find out more about Rathyn Island or for any of the experiences mentioned, take a look at the links in our show notes, where you'll also find some helpful guides to marine wildlife. Remember to subscribe to the show on your favourite podcast app to be the first to hear new adventures from the rest of the team. They'll be back soon with a new episode, but until then, from me, Kate Martin, goodbye.
This podcast is supported by Tourism Ireland. Experience all of what Northern Ireland has to offer, from standing on the rocks of the Giant's Causeway to hiking the Mourne Mountains with epic sea views, or enjoying the crack in Belfast City's great pubs with some live music. With amazing access from Great Britain by both air and sea, Northern Ireland is so easy to get to. To find your next adventure, visit ireland.com/Northern Ireland.